This is a CKTZ news update. I'm Lonnie Taylor. Cortez Island is blessed with 9 freshwater lakes. 2 of those lakes are highly popular and surrounded by parks maintained by BC Parks. For many years now, Cortez Island has been enduring algae blooms in these freshwater lakes. Hague Lake and Gunflint Lake are surrounded by roads and ditch systems. Friends of Cortez Island, a local conservation group, has raised money and done extensive research on these lakes to find out what is causing the algae blooms.
Greenpeace founder and active member of FOCI, Rex Weiler, responded to CKTZ to comment on the effect that roads and ditches have on the algae blooms. He wrote, "Perhaps the biggest problem with the current road design is the disruption of normal water flow through the ground. Any road or driveway disrupts this flow. Typically, the road industry constructs ditches along the sides of roads for drainage. Then they collect this water in the ditches and send it on its way through the watershed to the lake or other water body," Weiler continued. "One significant problem with this is that the system concentrates nutrients outside the usual groundwater path, so the nutrients don't get taken up by the plant growth." Weiler continued, "The ditches go the wrong way. They go horizontally to the road, usually across the natural slope of the land. The natural water flow would be better preserved if all roads used culverts under the road to carry water at regular intervals down along the natural slope and back into the natural groundwater flow, so the plants can take up the nutrients," the Greenpeace founder continued. "Our Hague Gunflint watershed is typical. The water from road drainage, for example, on Beasley and Pseudo Point Road, is channeled along the side of the road, then ditched down to the lakes so that the water enters the lakes with a full load of nutrients, which feeds the algae blooms."
Miranda Cross has been involved with the Friends of Cortez Island efforts in researching and mitigating issues that are causing the algae blooms on the freshwater lakes at Hague and Gunflint Lake. Cross offered local expertise and insight as to what the current situation is and what efforts have been made to contact Ministry of Transportation and Infrastructure in regards to how the roads are affecting these algae blooms on our local lakes.
I'm a wetland restoration specialist, and I work on projects both on Cortez and around the province to restore wetlands and streams that have been degraded due to different factors of land use and modification. And the primary focus of my work is to restore hydrology to watersheds and ecosystems that then supports habitat and climate change adaptation and mitigation, such as water storage on the landscape, fire suppression, flood mitigation, water purification and cleaning through wetlands, and carbon sequestration and capture in wetland soils. So I've been on Cortez almost 9 years now and started volunteering with FOCI. When I was on the board in 2014 was when we first noticed the algal blooms in the lakes. This was really the first time that significant algal blooms were observed. So FOCI got in touch with the BC Lake Stewardship Society and the Ministry of Environment for guidance on what do we do? How do we monitor this? What's the first step? So they helped us establish a lake monitoring program where volunteers go out onto the lake, which is still happening today, and they record data on dissolved oxygen, temperature, turbidity is a big one, as well as nitrogen and phosphorus sampling, because those are the two nutrients that can cause algal blooms most frequently. So after 5 or 6 years of data collection, we had Rosie Barlack. She works for Ministry of Environment. She's been reviewing the data every year or two regularly and providing guidance on how to adapt the monitoring program. But in 2019, Maggie Squires, who's a limnologist on Salt Spring Island, reviewed, analyzed, and processed the data and provided a report. What does this data show us? And then we also had that report reviewed by Rick Norden, who's with the BC Lake Stewardship Society. He's also a limnologist. Both of their conclusions were that it's most likely phosphorus loading, which is causing the algal blooms. So that's not to say that we shouldn't also be limiting nitrogen inputs to the lake, but that phosphorus is the primary culprit. So phosphorus binds to soils. This is where it becomes important thinking about like ditching and channeling of streams, is that when we get erosion, whether it's in ditches or streams, the soil gets carried and the soil is what has the phosphorus bound to it. And so when you get soil deposition into a freshwater ecosystem, then you have phosphorus load. Phosphorus is also found in manures and a lot of garden amendments. So that could also be a source if there's runoff from manure going into the lakes. And there's lots of homes and gardens and farms all around both lakes, right? If we get runoff that's entering ditches, you can think of ditches as like highways for water, where they're just water's moving unimpeded really quickly in a channelized area and it continues to erode. In the summertime, the lake stratifies because of the warming and the lack of wind mixing. And so you get these layers, and you might have observed that yourself when you go swimming. It's like the top layer is really warm, and then if you go down, it gets colder at the bottom. And cold water has more oxygen, so the fish stay low with the oxygen at the bottom. And then when we get those windstorms in the fall, it starts mixing, and you get like a mixing of all the layers. Eutrophic lake water system, which is like a lot of algae, a lot of productivity, and that takes up the oxygen. And so fish need oxygen, and many other organisms need oxygen in the water to be able to survive. So if you have algal blooms that are taking up all the oxygen, then that can be detrimental for fish in terms of not being able to survive. And then also from a human context, like people are drinking the water, they're recreating in the lakes and swimming. And if you start to get these algal blooms that they're like stinky and smelly, and we don't want to be swimming in that.
So you mentioned that you had actually been trying to contact Ministry of Transportation and Infrastructure in the past when you were active on this project.
Yeah. So I was just looking at my emails this morning. And so in 2021, in the spring, FOCI met with some representatives from MOTI. I think it was a Zoom meeting. And at that meeting, we talked about road brushing, road sweeping in regards to like newt crossings. We talked about road ditching. And the note here from the meeting is that flow velocity in roadside ditches on Cortez and the sediments they carry to the lake can be mitigated through the use of straw bales placed in ditches, and residents can apply for a permit to perform this mitigation work in the right of way. We want to be able to mitigate nutrients that are flowing into the lakes and the ditches, and that could be as simple and low tech as just placing straw bales in the ditches. And then the other thing we talked about in that meeting, which I have followed up with them this spring about and not got any response, was about human beaver conflict. And so I don't know if you're familiar with the Quas Park entrance off Quas Bay Road. You know, there's that beautiful beaver pond there. And there's been a couple different things going on there. And that's maybe a bigger conversation. But in terms of MOTI and highways, beaver have continued to block the culvert that goes underneath the road from the parking lot side of Quas Park there, and then it goes right into the lake. So what they did is they put up a grate. This is their strategy, which I think could be improved upon. They put up a grate over the culvert, and then the beavers, perfect, I have something to build against, and then they block it up. And so obviously then the water flows over the road, and that's a hazard. So they come with a backhoe and they dig out the beaver dam. But what happens when they do that is, as you can imagine, it's made of like mud and organic soils, and particularly like wetland soils with a lot of organic material have a lot of phosphorus in them. And so you get this flush of nutrients going in directly into the lake unmitigated at all. And often it happens in the winter. It's like high flow time. And they did it most recently in the spring. Beavers are very dear to my heart with the work that I do. I really see them, and I'm not the only one. This is not my words, but they're really our number one partners in climate change adaptation because of the work that they do for free to make and restore wetlands. So at that meeting in 2021, I had proposed we put in a beaver deceiver here, which is a very low-tech solution. You make a trapezoidal fence off the culvert, and then the beavers, they're triggered to dam by the flow of the water and the sound of it. So if you have them, they could start damming here, say I'm the culvert, they could start damming here, but as they work their way out, they lose interest. And these have been proven to be very effective all over the states. And there's a fellow on the island, who Vancouver Island, who's doing these with the city of Nanaimo, with the city of Port Alberni. So it's not like foreign technology in any way. So that happened in 2021. And then this spring, I went back there and was like, oh, look, it's clogged again. And so I sent an email to FOCI, the SRD, and MOTI, and didn't hear anything back from MOTI. So that's like a very specific location and solution in one place. But then more broad, what I've noticed at every inlet to the lake is that I'm observing erosion in the ditches that's causing little deltas of sediment to be deposited. And depending on the amount of flow in that particular ditch, it can be more severe or less severe. But the long swamp entrance to the lake there, there's quite a lot of sediment being deposited there. There's a bit more to that story, which is that the SRD is actually implementing some beaver coexistence in the dams just upstream of there. So I don't know if you've been there recently, and I actually haven't seen the bridge that they installed, but they put in a new bridge because the old bridge was continually, the path was getting flooded. And so then they have to breach the dams to maintain the access. So they recently, like this summer or September, they put in a flow regulator, which is a pipe that goes through the dams. So then they're setting the elevation of the water with the pipe, and the beavers can continue to do their activities, but it negates the need to breach the dam to lower the water elevation to maintain the access. So that's a really positive step that the SRD and FOCI has taken in partnership to try and coexist with the beavers rather than working against them. Really, it's just like that final step, but like down at the culvert. And I don't know, maybe there's more flow regulators required in some of the lower dams. It's really positive. And the contact, I think maybe a parks technician, Jacob Blanchard at the SRD, I've had some really great conversations with him. And it's like I had seen some beaver dam breaching at that location maybe in February 2021. And I reached out to him at that point and we started talking. And then he was able to implement this. But the culvert that's at the road is highways jurisdiction. So like properly constructed and designed bioswales and like little treatment wetlands before the lake would be an amazing evolution of the ditching system. I really appreciated Rex's email and his comments. He's very, very right in saying that like the roads really interrupt the hydrology of the landscape and of the forest, and they concentrate the flow into one place. Whereas if we could have more culverts more frequently to allow the water to go more naturally through the ground, it's a very good idea.
TZ asked Ministry of Roads and Transportation Infrastructure if they had a comment about the detrimental effects of traditional road building and ditch systems on freshwater lakes in BC. CKTZ also inquired about solutions and what it takes to get MOTI to invest in better road building practices. The Ministry of Transportation and Infrastructure responded, "Environmental management is an important aspect of all Ministry of Transportation and Infrastructure projects. The ministry is increasingly looking at things like bioswales and stormwater ponds during project design, particularly when the project is close to a sensitive water body. A recent example is the stormwater pond to capture runoff at the Mackenzie Interchange in Saanich, which helps protect the nearby Colquitt's Creek. The Ministry of Transportation and Infrastructure doesn't have an annual budget specific to road improvements on Cortez Island. All rehabilitation projects for provincial roads across the province are funded in order of priority through the ministry's Transportation and Infrastructure Improvements budget."
Rex Weiler also commented on options to mitigate the issues brought on by ditch systems. He said, "It would be more expensive and more effort to build roads the proper way, and hugely expensive to retrofit existing roads. So Highways Department doesn't want to do it. Home builders don't do this either. They do it the cheap way, so the lakes suffer." CKTZ inquired with the Ministry of Transportation and Infrastructure, "If community members want to bring urgency to this issue, Ministry of Transportation recommends concerns can be raised by contacting your local district office, which is the Nanaimo office. The Nanaimo District Ministry of Transportation and Infrastructure office can be reached at 250-751-3246.
Lonnie Taylor, CKTZ News, Cortez Island. CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.